Good morning. Seems like it has been forever since I have been here. Yeah, I'm the visitor, but it is great to be here. It's been good being over at Liberty. Seeing what God's doing over there is awesome. But it's good to see your smiling faces this morning. And looking forward to preaching this message. This is going to be a little bit of a different message, it's got some tough points in it. But the message came together in an odd way, and I'll tell you a little bit about that as we go through the message. But it's good to be here this morning. Good to see everybody here. And I started getting this message ready when Pastor Nathan was sick a few weeks ago, and then we wound up, everything went to New Life. But I started getting it ready, and then all of a sudden it was like God just kind of stopped me from writing. And I'm like, okay, where's this going? And of course God knows everything. And all of a sudden we moved our services to New Life that morning. And, you know, shortly after that, we had some of the storms to come through, some of the heavy rain and some of the high winds and different things. And I was back behind the house just kind of walking around looking at everything and just kind of spending time with God. And there's a small stream we have behind the house that I've always called them a wet weather branch because they they're dry during most of the summertime, and then in the winter they're running. And it's just a place that I feel connected with God when I go down there. And I went down there, and the path that stream normally takes had been blocked. The name of the sermon this morning is Paths. And that path had been blocked with sticks and leaves and all kinds of debris where it had been blocked. The water had overflown there on that stream, and it began going in a different direction. And God said, now you can finish writing your sermon. I'm like, okay, I understand. But how many times do we allow things to come in our path? And we may slow down our worship, or we may turn away from God for just a little bit, or we may go in a different direction. We may go in a worldly direction. And a lot of times whenever we allow that to happen, we just start blending in with the world. And we lose our focus on God. So like I said, this morning we're going to be talking about paths. And as you can see, I didn't really like the spiritual path. I would rather say God's path, but that's okay. The background kind of shows us a couple of different paths that we can take. And we're going to look at both of those paths this morning. So, you know, just think about this morning. You had to make choices before you came to church this morning. And we make choices every day. But this morning, I mean, just the few choices that you had to make this morning, you had to make a choice on what time to get up. If you were going to take a shower or a bath or nothing. What to wear, maybe what to eat, what car to drive. You may be here this morning and you even thought about, do I even want to go to church this morning? It's cold. It's messy. I don't want to get out of the house. It's nice and warm here in the house. I don't even want to go. Maybe you had to decide what path you were going to take to get here, what road you were going to take to get here. But, you know, we're faced with choices every day. And some of those choices have very little impact on our life. It's just choices we make every day. Maybe where we're going to eat or what we're going to eat or, you know, like I said this morning, what we're going to wear. But then you have other choices that significantly change the course of our life. Do we want to get married? Do we want to have children? What career do I want to take? But you know, of all the choices that we have to make, the most critical choice of all is our decision about following Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate choice that determines our eternal destiny. And if you think about it, all of our other important decisions that we make in life hinge on that one choice. But you know, it's a decision that Jesus calls his people to make. In life, we quickly come to a fork in our road. And when we're standing there trying to decide which way we want to go, there may be two signs, one pointing to Jesus and eternal life, and the other pointing toward a path of destruction. So each of us have to make our own choice. It's not a choice that anybody can make for you. You have to make that choice on your own. So this morning, our main passage is going to come out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And in these two verses of Scripture, we're going to see that the contrast between the two paths that Jesus tells us we have to choose. And as we stand at that crossroads, or we stand at that fork in the road, or whatever you want to call it, which one will you take? So let's look at the two possibilities. So if you have your Bibles, you can flip over to Matthew 7. It's going to be on the screen, verses 13 and 14. But the Bible tells us that enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So the first contrast I want to look at this morning is the entrance. And the key word to the entrance is the decision that we have to make. You know, as we stand at that fork in the road, or we stand at that crossroads, we're confronted by two gates. We're confronted by the narrow gate and the wide gate. So we're going to look first at the wide gate. You know, the wide gate is one of the choices that we have in front of us. Notice here that Jesus, he gives us the choice as to which gate we want to go down or we want to go through. The gate is wide and it's easy to enter. A lot of people will go through that gate. A lot of people can go through that gate at the same time. You know, a lot of times, think about when you go out somewhere. Most of the time, we're going to naturally choose the wide path or the wide gate, the wide door. It's just easier to get through. A lot of times, those narrow doors, people get funneled in, and it's hard to get through those doors. So we normally would choose the wide door or the wide path. So this gate is wide because more people will choose to go through that gate. You know, the good thing about the wide gate is many people can go through it and they're able to take anything they want to take with them. They can take anything on this journey they want to take. You know, think about this. I was thinking about this when I was getting this together. One time we had to bring in a refrigerator in the house and we wound up having to take the door off the hinges. That was an ordeal in itself. But we took the door off the hinges to make it wider so it would fit through the door. So So those wide gates or those wide doors, they're inviting. In our journey through life, wide gate will allow you to do that. You know, as we stand at that wide gate and we look down the path that is beyond it, it becomes very inviting to us because it looks easy. Looks like it's an easy travel. I mean, it's, you know, it's there. I mean, it's open and you can get down it with no problem. But then our second option in that is the narrow gate. The narrow gate has only room for you to go through, nothing else. You have to leave all that baggage behind. You have to leave all that worldly junk behind. And that's hard sometimes. That can become really hard whenever you put everything together and it looks like you've got everything going your way. But sometimes you just have to let that stuff go. Jesus tells us to take up our cross when we're done. We have to choose daily to follow Jesus. This narrow gate, it has room for us to take our cross with us, and that's it. There's no room through that gate to chase after the world and its pleasures. There's no room for unforgiven spirits. There's no room for self-righteousness. The narrow gate will not be easy for us to walk through. The Bible tells us that it's not easy. All the things that Jesus has told us up to this point has been to prepare us to walk through the narrow gate, though. Luke 13:24 tells us to strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. You know, here Jesus tells us that we have to strive, or we have to put out a great effort to enter that narrow gate. It's narrow because not many will choose to enter it. If you enter that narrow gate, Jesus must be first in your life. But the key word here is decision. God allows us to choose for ourselves. Some may make the choice by doing nothing. And when you choose to do nothing and you decide not that you're not going to do anything, you've chose the wide gate by default. So look to the narrow gate. But once we get through that gate, we have a path we have to walk. So let's look at the path. You know, as we stand there, like I said before, and we stand there and we look at those two gates, and we have the narrow gate and we have the wide gate. But past those, we have paths. And let's look at each of those. Let's look at the wide path first. The wide path is the one most traveled. It's an easy path. Like I said before, you don't have to choose to do anything to follow this path. You're naturally put on this path. You're naturally put on this path because of sin. The path is wide because so many are going to choose to lead that path to destruction. You know, some people will travel down Substance Abuse Street. Some might walk down Pride Avenue. Others will walk down Materialism Way. Some will travel down Sexual Sin Estate Road. Some may take Hate Street. Or they may walk down Murder Avenue. You see that wide path that has many ways that you can go. And it's an easy path to stay on. The only thing you have to do is follow the world. Proverbs 12:15 says that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And then Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is the way to death. That wide road, that wide path, it may seem right. It may seem like that's what everybody else is doing. Because a lot of times that's what everybody else is doing. But we see there in Proverbs that the way that seems right is the end is death. You know that wide path that has no rules, has no restraints. It's a path where everybody is doing right in their own eyes. And how many times have we been guilty of that? I know I have. When I was getting this message together, I'm like, God, I'm preaching to myself. Every bit of this, I'm preaching right to myself. But think about this. And we see this more and more in the world today. But all the great injustices of history have been committed in the name of unchecked and unbridled majority rule. The late Senator James A. Reed of Missouri, in one of his most forceful speeches ever delivered before the Senate, observed with great truth. He said, "The majority crucified Jesus Christ. The majority burned the Christians at stake. The majority established slavery. The majority jeered when Columbus said the world was round. The majority threw him into a dungeon for having discovered a new world." You know, Christ always calls us to follow the lifestyle of the minority opinion. Don't be deceived by the loud voice of the majority morality. We know that those paths lead to destruction. The wide path is the one that most people will be on, unfortunately. It's the path that most people will encourage you to walk down. So think about this. As you're standing at that fork in the road or that crossroads, looking down those paths, are you going to be swayed by what everybody else is doing? The majority of people will follow that wide path. And those will be the same people that's going to be making fun of you for not. The majority is not always right. You know, it doesn't matter what 95% of Americans think about anything if God has already told us the truth. The majority of people will take this path because they don't have to give up anything. They want to trust in their own judgments and their own goodness. How many times have I been guilty of this? I'm like, well, I can just take care of this myself because God don't need to get involved in this. I can take care of it myself. It always winds up being a mess, being a big mess. We trust in our own judgment and goodness. And there's no goodness in us. The only goodness in us is the goodness of God. People are blinded by the truth, though. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Will you choose the wide path? Like I said earlier, if you're doing nothing, you're already on it. Sadly, you're already on it. So let's look at the narrow path, though. There's good news in this message. The narrow path. The way is restricted. Remember that Luke 13:24 told us to strive to enter the narrow path. The word for narrow here means difficult to enter. I really like this point. It said, I put in here that access is not denied to people. They keep themselves out. And there's so much truth in that statement. We're not denied the narrow path by any means. We're encouraged to walk the narrow path. But a lot of times we choose to keep ourselves off that path. It's difficult to walk this path because it takes discipline and it takes desire. Jesus has been telling us what is required for us to be on this path. It requires us to allow Jesus to change our lives. And when we allow Jesus to change our lives, it will cause us to change our own behavior. A lot of people choose not to take this path because it's not an easy path. It's a hard path to take. Quick little story for you. Little boy was caught in mischief. Imagine that. And he was asked by his mother, "How do you expect to get into heaven?" He thought for a minute and he said, "Well, I'll just run in and out and keep slamming the door until they say, 'For goodness sakes, come in or stay out.'" He said, "Then I'll go in." Pretty good thoughts there. That's not the way to get into heaven. A lot of people think they can get through that gate and through that path as a kid, and they're just going to enter heaven. You're not going to enter heaven unless you stay on that path that God has set for us. You can't get through the gate and then make your own path. There's only one way to God. And there's only one path to God. There's only one truth that leads to God. And that way, that path, and that truth is Jesus. John 14:6 tells us, and this is one of my favorite verses, of course. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And there's so much truth in that verse of Scripture. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and He is the life. The key word for the path is desire, a discipline. We have to desire to walk that path. And we have to be disciplined enough to follow that path. It's not always easy. It's not an easy path to go. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed. People are going to call you all kinds of names. They're going to look at you funny. We just have to stay the course. We have to stay on that path. We have to have that discipline to not be drawn off the path. Think about this. The majority is going to be on that wide path. And they're going to be trying to get us to come to that wide path. You can see it in the world today more than ever, probably. Everybody's going their own way, doing their own thing. And then when we try to set the record straight and we try to do the right thing by following Jesus and staying on that narrow path, they look at us funny. They talk about us behind our back in front of our face. And it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to get beat down as a Jesus follower. But we have to stay the course. We have to stay on that narrow path. People are going to try to drag you off of it. People are going to try to drag you off of it and cause you to do things that you know is not pleasing to God. Think about our own struggles in life sometimes. You know, sometimes we struggle with drinking, or we may struggle with sexual sins, or we may struggle with whatever it might be. How many times has maybe you had a breakthrough and, you know, you've thrown the drinking away, but then some old friend calls, says, "Hey, we hadn't been together, I hadn't seen you in 20 years. Let's get together at the bar." And you say, "No, I'd rather not. I'm good. I don't live that life anymore. Come on, it's for old time." So you choose to go. And everything's going good. And then he said, "Well, let's just have a drink for old time's sake. One drink. That's all you gotta have." And that one drink leads to ever how many? It's so easy to fall back into life's snares. It takes a desire to walk this path. It takes a desire to see down this path and to not live in the moment, but live for Jesus. We need a desire to please Jesus, not our own flesh and our own body. We need to look to God for our guidance. The third contrast I want to look at is our destination. You know, we've been at that fork in the road all morning. And then we look at that gate and we decide which gate we're going to go down or go through. Then we start following that path. Well, where is those paths going to lead us? Let's look at the wide path again. We always start with bad. Let's look at the wide path. That wide path ends in destruction. You know, there's a lot of people that don't think this will happen. I got some numbers from an older Barna research poll. And it said 31% of adults see hell as an actual location. Less than half the people think hell is real. 31% think it's a place of physical torment, where people may be sent. 37% says that hell is not a place, but it represents a state of being permanently separated from God. Describing hell as merely a symbolic term, not referring to a physical place, was true for 19% of Americans. And these statistics are old, so I guarantee you those numbers are not accurate. But 31% think it's real. And I'm sure that's lower now. I'm sure that that number's a lot less. Philippians 3:18 and 19 tells us that for many, of whom I have often told you, and now their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. That goes back to that 31%. They're their own God, basically. You know, and there's a lot of people that believe that the passages in the Bible about heaven are real. But they reject the references to hell. Robert Ingersoll, he was a famous lawyer and atheist in the latter part of the 19th century, once delivered a lecture on hell. He called hell a scarecrow of religion and told his audience how unscientific it was and how all intelligent people had decided there was no such place. A drunk man in the audience came up to him afterwards and said, "Bob, I like your lecture. I liked what you said about hell. But Bob, I want you to be sure about it because I'm depending on you." How many times do we put our faith in man? How many times do we put our faith in ourselves? We let ourselves down every day. You know, a lot of times we don't like to talk about hell. But it's as real a place as heaven. Whether we want to talk about it or not, it's real. It's a reality. I ask you a question this morning. Do you trust what the Bible says? Or do you trust what other people tell you who are on their own path? So let's look at the narrow path. A loving God will not make you go to heaven if you don't want to be there. If you don't want to go there when you're on earth. Jesus tells us that the narrow road leads to life. Where's the path that you're following going to lead you? Where's it taking you now? In John 6, starting about verse 50, Jesus tells the crowd that the crowd that was with him that unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood, that they will not have life. According to the verse 66, many of the people who were following him withdrew from him. Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, if they are leaving also since they were struggling with what he said to the crowd. And then in verse 68 and 69, Jesus gets his answer. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." They were on the right path. So I ask you, to whom shall you go? Jesus is the only path to God. At the end of that narrow path, you'll find eternal life. John 14, 1 through 3 says that, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, what I have told you, that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus tells us to let our hearts not be troubled. He's got a place prepared for us. And we're going to go and we're going to spend eternity with him if we stay on that narrow path. So as I get ready to close, kind of a quick message. A little bit of a recap. Life is about choices. And it's about that freedom to make choices. God loves us so much that he did not take the ability away from us to choose for ourselves. And you know, you hear people say every day that, well, a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, God don't send people to hell. We choose to go there by the way we respond to the grace of God through Jesus. In Deuteronomy 30, God told Moses to tell his people that they needed to choose who they were going to serve. God said that life would be found in obeying him. And then again in Joshua 24, upon entering the promised land, Joshua told the people to choose this day who they would serve. I tell you that same thing today. Choose this day who you will serve. You know, as Elijah was about to take on the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, he told the people to choose either to follow God or Baal in 1 Kings. God's never forced people to follow him. He gives us a choice. The question is, when you are at that fork in the road, which path will you take? Worship team can come on up. We're getting ready to sing Build Our Life, Build My Life. And I ask you this morning, who are you building your life on? Is it the things of this world? If it is, today can be the day that changes. Today you can start building your life on God. Place him at the center of your life. Make him the Lord of your life. Don't let Satan have his way with you. Don't fall for the lies that he's told. Today is the day that we can start building our life on God. As we close with this last song, I challenge you to look at what you're building your life on. And not only look at what you're building on, but seriously think about how you can build your life more on God and less on worldly things. And as always, this altar is open. And Jesus is ready to do work this morning. He's ready to do business with you. I challenge you to come up here and lay all your burdens down. Lay all your sins and shortcomings at the feet of Jesus. But when you lay them down, don't pick them up and take them back with you. Just leave them at the foot of the cross. I'll be up here on the front row if you want somebody to pray with you. I'll be glad to. But let God lead you as we finish up with worship.